Why don't you go ahead and put a marker in your Bible in Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. And then John read for you from Psalms 40. And why don't you turn in your Bible to Psalms 40 after you put a marker. Like, John, go ahead. Steal the thunder, buddy. You were right on track. We are in our series, Rebuilding the Walls, and we're talking about the different gates. Today's going to be a gate, the Valley Gate again. One more time, I want to talk to you about the Valley Gate, because last week I was not able to take and really share my heart. I got a few of my points in, but there was one more point I needed, and I didn't have enough time to finish it. And so today I want to talk to you again about rebuilding the Valley Gate, and what it's like to go into the valley. Because the valley represents a time in our lives when the Lord is trying to build our character. We could call this the character gates, what I said last week. And so many times when people enter into the valley, they ask this question: has God left me? Because you feel so alone. Because you're down in the valley and it seems like everyone else is up on the mountaintops. Why, Lord, why am I the one that's down struggling right now with these things and situations? And it's one thing to have a bad weekend or a bad day. Okay? I had a bad day on Friday. I got to do some fun things, but then this broke and this broke and I lost this and I lost that. Everyone had one of those days? Yeah. And it's no fun. It's like, really? This is going to break now? Okay. And then I get home, and then something else happened. Now, that's one thing to have a bad day or a bad week or a bad weekend. But as a general rule, you know that the Lord has taken you to the valley in that a week, 2 weeks, a month, 3 months, 6 months, you're still there. And that's when you know you're walking through the valley. Now, the promise we have, the same one the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Now, the main purpose of the going through the valley is so that we can draw near to God. We have to keep this in mind. Everything we talk about today, and particularly when we talk about worship today, that when you're in the valley, we have got to worship, because worship draws us to God. And worship gets our heart in a place where we're able to rest in who the Lord is and where He has us. Now, I said it last week. When you're in the valley, yuck. It's yuck. It is not fun. But when you understand and you get to the place where you understand the Lord has you in this valley for a reason, that there's something coming up in your life that He wants you to be ready for, and that until He plows up your heart and plows up the things in your life that need to be get ready so some things can start growing in the valley, hello? Because that's where growing takes place, in the valley. And so we get to this place, and so last week I said, listen, here's three things that I know that we need to do when we go in the valley. And I read the scripture, I don't think it's up there, but it says in Genesis 26:19, Isaac's servants dug, everyone say dug, dug in the valley and found there a well of living water. When you're in the valley, you need to dig a well. And you will probably, as I said last week, fill it with your tears. Because that's what it's like when you're really going through the valley. Then I said, there's three things we need to do. Number one, we need to cry out to God. Everyone say, cry out to God. Number two, we need to have, while we're there, we need to have a broken and a contrite heart. Have a broken and a contrite heart. And again, I read you the scripture in Jeremiah chapter 19. It says, go out to the valley of Ben-Hinnom, which is where when you come out of the valley gate, it leads to the valley of Ben-Hinnom, which is by the entrance of the potsherd gate. That's the valley gate. This is where all the broken pieces of pottery are. This gate brings us to brokenness. And again, brokenness is a good thing. That when we're broken and contrite before the Lord, then the Lord is able to lift us up and the Lord is able to do something in us. When we become the place where we're self-sufficient and we're operating, not necessarily in pride, but there could be a little bit of pride there and, oh, isn't everything, you know, and it's all this and all that. The Lord has a harder time doing a work in us. But when we're broken, man, we're just available, aren't we? Okay, Lord, I'm so low, I can't go any lower. And again, our hearts are just turned to Him. Number three, I say, listen, during this time, remember His promises. Reflect on the promises of God. Here's what we read in Deuteronomy. Be strong, be of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, the Lord my God. Amen. He is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise that you can stand on and say, Lord, I thank you today that I am here crying out to you. And as John read, and I'm going to read again, I cried out to the Lord and He inclined to His ear inclined to me and He heard me. And so we've got to do that. Now, number four today, we need to worship in the storm. We need to worship in the valley. Because again, this is really the key, one of the main keys that when we find ourselves walking through the valley, and it's such a difficult time, that we need to have a support group. I'm going to talk about that today. And we also need to understand that we have to worship. Everyone say worship. Okay, so if we're going to worship, let me ask you a question. What is worship? Because we just throw that word around there that everybody understands. What is worship? Well, one of the best definitions I've ever heard and seen for worship is very simple. Worship is simply love expressed. Worship is love to our God expressed. Now, here's the good news for us today. God is the God of love. Amen. Does anyone agree with me this morning? He's the God of love. And if He created me in His image, Scripture says that I'm made in His image. And if God's the God of love, then I have love in me to express. And as a matter of fact, Scripture says that He helps us, that He gives us, puts inside of us to help us to be able to love the Lord. How do I know that? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. It's up on the screen. And the Lord your God, whose God is it? This is relationship, church. This is your relationship with the Lord. All through here we're seeing. We have these promises. We can have this confidence and this trust because of this relationship we have with Him. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to do what? To love the Lord your God. With all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. The Lord Himself is going to circumcise our heart. He's going to cut away those things in our heart that need to be cut away so that we can love Him with all our heart and with all our soul, so that we can really live. Not just live any half. And we see this scripture again in the New Testament. Jesus says, the thief comes, but the steal comes, destroy. But I come that you would have life and life to its fullest. Life to a life of abundance. Even when we're walking in the valley, church, know this. You can live a life of abundance and fullness in your soul. Hello? Catch this morning. When you're in the valley and the Lord calls you to cry out to Him and to love Him with all your heart and soul, that you will live. What He's talking about is, listen, I'm not necessarily right away going to change your circumstance. But what I am going to do is change your attitude. Hello? worship causes us to change our attitude and takes us to a different altitude. Worship takes us to a different altitude with our attitude. Where before, the focus becomes on me. Woe is me. Woe is me. Man, do I feel bad. Oh, do I feel low today? How low? You just don't know how low. I feel so low and discouraged today. I am so down. Can I encourage you today, when you find yourself with that attitude, woe is me, oh, pitiful us, can't believe that I go through us. And again, you might, one of my elders said to me this week, he said, man, but I'm tithing, and I'm doing all those things I'm supposed to be doing. You know what? Sometimes when he takes us through that valley, we're doing all the right things. And you haven't done anything wrong to deserve it. Hello, church. Do you understand that? You have not done anything wrong to go through that valley. But the Lord has a purpose for it. And when you get discouraged and you get low, you've got to begin to worship God. And you've got to begin to, everyone say, magnify the Lord. What does it mean to magnify? It means to make Him big. So that it puts in perspective your life and these problems that you're going through. So how do we get to that place where we're able to worship when we're in the valley? Well, you've got to begin to reflect on what the Lord has done for you in the past. You've got to begin to reflect on the goodness of God. And you've got to begin to reflect while you're there in the valley that the Lord is a faithful God. And that He is not there to take you and to push you down and to do you in. The Lord is there to do something for you. And God has many laws in place that He's put. Just again, all you got to do is reflect on the laws of God. How many of you are thankful for the law of gravity today? Do we think about it? Do we ponder it all the time? No, but it's always there. Why? Because God knew we needed that in our lives. God knows exactly what we have need of in our lives. Amen? Now, notice this in Psalms chapter 8. I had you put a marker there. Psalms chapter 8. Because out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Everyone say strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avengers. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, the original text says, you have ordained worship, so that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Because here's what's going to happen when you're down in the valley. The enemy is going to say, where's your God? Where's your God now? Come on. Where's your God at? You're crying out to Him, but ain't nothing happening in your circumstance. As soon as we realize, and maybe we'll get out of the valley quicker, it's not about our circumstance, it's about our attitude that God is trying to change. He's trying to get us to a place, posture us to a place. He's ordained praise. And then the scripture, then the psalmist goes on, he says, listen, and he begins to reflect on the goodness of God. And when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, and I look up in the night sky, and I see the moon, and I see the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Oh, when God paints a sunset for us, church, when you overlook the creation and see a gorgeous lake or you see a canyon landscape, how did it get there? God painted it for you. God made it for you. And so this morning, when we find ourselves in the valley, we've got to allow our worship to be expressed. See, worship that's not expressed is just good thoughts. It's just good thoughts. Again, when we begin to worship and we begin to bless the Lord, it changes our attitude. And your attitude affects your altitude. I'll say that one more time. Amen. Your attitude affects your altitude. We see in Scripture in Genesis chapter 4, you want to talk about a valley. You want to talk about a low period in man's life. Genesis chapter 4, we see that the first murder takes place in Genesis. But Scripture says that Adam knew his wife again, and they had another son named Seth, because God has appointed another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And Seth had a son and named him Enosh. And then men. Everyone say, can you have that scripture, Alicia? Is it up there in Genesis chapter 4? And then men began to call on the Lord. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. That's worship. Before that, God had always initiated the conversation. But now we see in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26 that men begin to call on the Lord. They begin to cry out to Him. And they begin to worship Him. And something happened in their lives. A praise began to rise from their lips. Everyone say, from their lips. Hebrews chapter 13 declares it this way. Hebrews 13, 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, here's what your sacrifice is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Wow. Do you understand? When you're in the valley and you don't feel like it, and it's kind of painful while you're there, the Scripture says, let us continually offer the sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It costs you something to bring a sacrifice. Listen, when in the Old Testament and they brought the sacrifice to the temple, they had this little lamb or this little animal that they had been raising as a family. And it was precious and dear to them. And they turned it over to the priest to be sacrificed. And the Lord says, this is the sacrifice I want from you, though. I don't want animals. I don't need that. What I want, the sacrifice that is the fruit of your lips. That's the sacrifice that you're going to bring. The fruit of your lips. And what is that going to be? Worship. It's going to be praise on your lips. And it's going to be worship on your lips. And I don't understand the full dimension of what worship and how it all works. But all I know is I worship the Lord. And the more I lift Him up, the more He turns and restores my soul. The more He turns and He does, He changes me. And He gives me a new outlook. And even though my circumstance didn't change. Because again, church, I went through a valley a few years ago. And it wasn't 1 month, it wasn't 6 months. But it was many years. And I'm like, Lord, I know You're preparing me for something. I didn't know at the time what it was. That He was going to cause me and bring me to this place where I am today. But all the time I was crying out to Him. And I wanted and on some days I did better than others. Hello? I'm being truthful with you. Mary Beth, some days I did better than others, letting the fruit of my lips be praise. But when I got to the place where I was, where I can understand, and now here's where John stopped reading Psalms 40. Psalms 40, verse 3. Out of the miry clay He set my foot on a rock, and He established my steps. But He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to my God. And many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. Hello? Thank goodness. He puts a new song in my mouth. He's going to put a new song in your mouth, a praise to your God. And many around you who know what you're going through, and you're making your posts on Facebook and you're tweeting and you're doing these things. Many will see it and they will not, this is not the word fear, but be afraid, but they will revere and they will see the God that you're worshiping. And they will trust in the Lord also. But it doesn't start until you do what? Open your mouth. You've got to open your mouth. Now, again, love is, worship is what? Love expressed. Love demonstrated. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second. Aren't you glad that God just didn't think his love towards us? Aren't you glad that God did not think his love towards us? No, here's what I read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his love towards us. He demonstrates his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Woohoo! That's great news this morning. God didn't think his love towards me. God demonstrated his love for me. God demonstrated his love for you. Amen? And in return, you know what we're going to do? We're going to demonstrate our love for him in worship. And again, there's so many different aspects of worship. What we did here this morning was corporate worship, and it was incredible. And we need these corporate times. But you also need times where you are worshiping the Lord in your way, however you feel comfortable, do it. Now, he has put a song in my mouth. Now in the world, they have what's called, when you start, these things start happening in your life. I've got the blues. My truck broke down, it's on the ground, and I wish that I could go on, but now I've got a flat. I sing the blues, the blues. Hello, how many of you know? And it's pop, it's one of the most popular genres of music there is, the blues. And it's all about this bad stuff that's happening to me. I felt like that this weekend. When my stuff started to break, I can't go fish. My trailer broke. And you're going, no, I'm not going to sing the blues. But it's easy to get that place, isn't it? Now, Psalms 46. I had Barry read this morning. I was going through my notes looking for something, and I came across a valley song. When I was in the valley, Psalms 46. I'm so glad I wasn't singing the blues, but I was beginning to declare some things in my heart. And I begin to declare Psalms 46. And I can't believe I still even had this around. Because God is my strength. God is the refuge for my soul. A present help in time of trouble. I will not fear. I will not worry, for I know. A present help in time of trouble. Though the earth give way, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, I will trust in you. Lord, when I call upon your name, Lord, you hear my cry, you speak the word, and living waters flow. And I'm like, I wrote Living Waters Flow 8 years ago, or however long that was. You speak the word
and living waters flow. 'Cause God is my strength, God is a refuge for my soul, a present help in time of trouble, and I will not fear, 'cause I will not worry, for I know my God's a help in time of trouble.
Now, what song are we to be singing when we're in the valley? Do we need to be singing the blues? Does that do anything for your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions? No, but when you begin to sing a song, a new song, and again, the Lord allowed me to express my heart to Him in the middle of a valley like that. I'm like, I don't even remember doing that. But apparently, it was one of those days I got up and it's like, I need to sing to the Lord. I need to let a new song come out of my heart today because I'm really discouraged. You know what? You have a whole book of songs. Come on, church. You have a whole, I don't know how to write songs. That's all right. They're written for you. They're written by the God who loves you. And specifically, if you go to the book of Psalms, you read about a man named David who had all types of troubles and had all time. Listen, I've never been tried to kill by one of my daughters. One of my daughters has never tried to kill me. That's right, Dakota. David's got a son trying to kill him. Literally. Stick a knife through him, a spear through him, and shish kebab, dad. I've never had that type of problem. And yet we see all through David's life, the valley, the valley, the valley, that the Lord took him. Why was he out in the valley? Why was he out in the desert? Because God had something great for his life. And God has something great for your life. If you're in the valley today, or know that you're going to go through the valley, God has you there so that he can put a song in your mouth. And it's a song of praise, and it's a song of worship to your God. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Woo! We can get excited about that today. Amen. Worship takes belief, unbelief, and he knocks it down, and it allows faith to rise up. In Psalms 149, the psalmist goes so far and says, listen, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Because how many of you know it's in the nighttime when you're laying there? Hello, church, come on, I'm just being real with you today. It was in the nighttime, and I would lay down my head on the pillow, and all the thoughts and all the rejection and all the hurts and all the pains begin to come through you. And you begin to cry. Tears begin to come down your face because of how it doesn't seem like you're ever going to get out of the valley. And it's about then where you don't have to, again, let them sing aloud on their beds. In your darkest hour, church. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. And again, have your iPad or your iPod or your phone by your bed, your nook, your Kindle Fire, whatever. Put your earphones in. If you don't feel like singing, allow the ministry of worship to be done for you.